Krishna. Hare Krishna. It's a very confidential class today.
It's only meant for
a few. Thus only five have gathered. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi jana valabha giri varadari
Gopi jana valabha
Gopi jana valabha giri varadari Yashoda nandana braja janaranjana Yashoda nandana braja janaranjana Jamuna tira banachari Jamuna tira manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Gopi jana valabha giri vardhari Gopi jana valabha giri vardhari Yashoda nandana braja janaranjana Yashoda nandana braja janaranjana Yamuna tira banachari Yamuna tira banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari 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 Ah
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Nityai Gaur Haribo, 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 Gaur Haribo. Janitai Gaura Premanandi Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parabhajagacharya Si Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kija ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kija BBT Founder Srila Prabhupada Kija Haridas Thakur Kija Pramsaka Hoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Srila Prabhupada Kija. Shivazi Gomra Bhakta Vrindaki Jaya Shishi Radha Krishna Gopagopinath Shama Kundalakin Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Navadweep Dham Ki Jai Ganga Maya Ki Jai Jamuna Maya Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Their Most Beautiful Lordship Shri Shri Radha Landanishwara Ki Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Akija, Sankirtan Yagya Akija, Brihab Mardanga Transcendental Book Distribution Akija, Nitai Gauda Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gaudanga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone. Thank you for coming and being here for the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Before I begin, I would like to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas that you see fit to somehow or other bestow your mercy upon me so that I can speak something from the pages of the 10th canto of this most exalted scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Without the mercy of Vaishnavas, nothing is possible. So today we'll be reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we'll be continuing our reading, although not finishing, but coming close to the end of the 23rd chapter. This chapter is entitled, The Brahmana's Wives Blessed. and we'll be starting on text 45. Picking up where Brahmana Maharaj left off yesterday and carrying on. There are two purports, 46 and 47. I think 47 is on the board. Hitvanyan. Yeah. Okay. Who wrote this on the board? Yeah, nice handwriting. Okay. So please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nanu swartha vimudanam pramatanam grahehaya aho nasmarayam asa gopavakyai satam gatihi. Translation. Indeed, infatuated as we are with our household affairs, we have deviated completely from the real aim of our life. But now, just see how the Lord, through the words of these simple cowherd boys, has reminded us of the ultimate destination of all true transcendentalists. Text 46. Anyata purna kamasya kavalyad yashisham patahe ishitavya kim asmabir ishashaitad vidambanam. Otherwise, why would the Supreme Controller, whose every desire is already fulfilled, and who is the master of liberation and all other transcendental benedictions, enact this pretense with us, who are always to be controlled by him? Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although Lord Krishna is the absolute truth, he humbly sent his cowherd boyfriends to beg food from the brahmanas. In so doing, he exposed the brahmanas' foolish arrogance and established the glories of his own transcendental beauty by attracting their very wives to surrender at his lotus feet. Text 47. Please repeat. Hitvanyan bhajateyam shri padasparshasya yashakrit svatma dosha pavargena tadyachya jana mohini Hitvanyan bhajateyam shri padasparshasya yashakrit svatma dosha pavargena yadyatya jana mohini Hitvanyan bhajateyam shri padasparshasya yasakrit svatma dosha pavargena tadyakya jana mohini Hitvanyan, sorry, hitva, giving up. Anyan, others. Bhajate, worships. Yam, which Lord. Sri, the goddess of fortune. Parasparsha, for the touch of his lotus feet. Ashaya, with the desire. Asakrit, constantly. Swaatma, of herself. Dosha, the faults of fickleness and pride. Apavargena, putting aside. Tut, his. Yachya, begging. Jana, ordinary humans. Mohini, bewildering.
Translation and purport again by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hoping for the touch of His lotus feet, the goddess of fortune perpetually worships Him alone, leaving aside all others, and renouncing her pride and fickleness. That he begs is certainly astonishing to everyone. Purport. The Supreme Master of the Goddess of Fortune herself obviously does not have to beg for food, as pointed out here by the Brahmanas, who are finally manifesting real spiritual intelligence. Om Agnatiminandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Gena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrachatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Dham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'll just read the translations again for continuity. So this is the husbands of the, or sorry, this is the Brahmanas speaking, and they say, indeed, infatuated as we were with our household affairs, we have deviated completely from the real aim of our life. But now, just see how the Lord, through the words of these simple cowherd boys, has reminded us of the ultimate destination of all true transcendentalists. Otherwise, why would the Supreme Controller, whose every desire is already fulfilled, and who is the master of liberation and all other transcendental benedictions, enact this pretense with us, who are always to be controlled by Him? Hoping for the touch of His lotus feet, the Goddess of Fortune perpetually worships Him alone, leaving aside all others and renouncing her pride and fickleness. That He begs is certainly astonishing to everyone. So, coming to the conclusion of this section of the Bhagavatam, this chapter, where the wives of the Brahmanas are blessed, and what we see here is that the Brahmanas, as is explained in the final purport, finally coming to the platform of real spiritual intelligence. So, means that they're starting to realize, as is mentioned in the first translation, that they've been missing the real aim of life. They've been missing the goal. Even though they're learned Brahmanas and they've been intensely studying and practicing the Vedic scriptures and performing so many ritualistic activities, But somehow they're still missing the goal and the aim of life. So this is room for much conversation, as we see that the brahmanas here are becoming, what is it said in the purport? The Krishna has exposed the brahmanas' foolish arrogance and established the glories of his own transcendental beauty by attracting their very wives to surrender to his lotus feet. So, can address this to the men's side, but the male false ego is something quite interesting, right? And confirmed, and it's, you know, very easily embarrassed or affected. And you can imagine in this Shishi Radhavanda Nishwar Gita Govardhan Shishi Gorani Thai Jagannath Baladev Subhaja Maharani Ki Jai. And you can imagine, I mean, it's enough just to be embarrassed or to do something wrong and be caught out, or to express yourself as being right about something and to be proven wrong. I mean, I don't know, I'm not in a woman's body in this life, but I imagine that females also have false ego. So, you know, if we get caught out for doing something wrong, nobody likes it, right? We feel a little embarrassed, ashamed. The natural instinct of the false pride, false ego, is to what? What do we do when we're caught out? Someone says, "Ah, oh, you did this." We defend, right? And we often try to concoct something that makes it okay, right? That we weren't really wrong. Anyone has had that experience? Anyone who's humble enough to admit that the pride has been there so much so that even though you know blatantly you messed up, but still you want to kind of wangle things around and twist and contort until you can present it in such a way that you don't have to accept any responsibility for being incorrect. Now the brahmanas here have been doing what apparently seems to be the precise, perfect, correct, right thing, isn't it? They're performing yajna, performing sacrifice according to the Vedic scriptures. They're doing everything apparently perfect. How could you fault it? What they're doing is exactly what they're meant to be doing. But yet, the Lord sends, he comes personally. First, what he sends the boys, right? Does he come first? I can't remember. No, he just sends the boys. It's only what? No, but he told them to go back. Yeah. So he didn't come. He, as it says here, he sent the boys, and the boys asked the brahmanas, and the brahmanas are like, "Shoot, go away, don't bother us now. We're busy doing the most important thing." But Krishna and Balaram are hungry. They want something to eat. Now, get out of here. Right? So he says, "Now go back to the wives." Ooh, now this is dangerous territory, right? So the false ego, right? So now the wives of the brahmanas are approached, and they immediately give up everything, and they go to the forest to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna. In fact, carrying so much prasad, you know, so much food to offer to the Lord, they immediately leave their husbands without a second thought. Now you can imagine that once the brahmanas start to come to their senses, they're feeling a bit embarrassed, right? They're feeling a bit like, you know, they're as it says here, their foolish arrogance has been exposed, and the glories of the Lord's transcendental beauty has been established because he attracted their wives away from them to him. So there must be so much complete mixed emotion in this episode amongst the brahmanas that for them, they're actually becoming humbled because they've been exposed. Their foolishness has been exposed, and it's been exposed by their wives.
Now, I mean, especially in Vedic times, not now there's more equal rights and understanding, but in Vedic times, you know, basically you just get on with the stuff and keep quiet, probably, at least to some greater or lesser extent. And maybe even now within the male false ego, that ideology is still to some extent there. I think children are meant to be seen, not heard. Is that right? So similar type of mentality may be there. But now the wives of the brahmanas, not only did they go away to be with Krishna in the forest, but now they've come back also. I mean, it's like, you know, a real slap in the face of the brahmanas. And the brahmanas are finally coming to their senses. So sometimes this is actually what it takes to wake us up, to bring us to our senses, to be humbled. It takes an embarrassing, humiliating situation to actually bring us to the point of awakening, isn't it? Now, I'm sure everyone here is thinking, oh, I must be humble, I don't want any situation like that to happen to me in my life, right? Anyone's like that? But I was thinking yesterday, Murali Manarapu gave such a nice class, and especially he made these comments about Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, where apparently certain devotees were exiled thrust out of the association of devotees by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, by God himself. He booted them out, right? We were talking about Mukunda and also this Brahman or Brahmachari Brahmana who's only drinking milk and performing so much austerity like that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, get out, hit the road. The Lord kicked them out. Perfect opportunity for Ashishava Paravatam Panoshtamama Darshanam Marmahatam Karotava. Right? No matter if you handle me roughly or refuse me your darshan, still you remain my Lord. But how did these devotees react? They didn't react forget this, he's probably not God anyway. Right? They could have started whole ulterior sampradayas and, you know, gone on a rampage and gathered loads of people around. Gone to the GBC, the Navadweep GBC, and, you know, created a whole campaign against Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his followers and probably found a few other people that, you know, said, yeah, we agree with you, he's a nonsense, right? But they didn't do that, right? Actually, the brahmachari, brahmana, he was just in ecstasy. Anyway, I'm being kicked out, that's the Lord's mercy. But I got to see the dancing and hear the kirtan of the Lord, and he was just in this ecstatic condition. And because of that, the Lord personally came and welcomed him back into the association of devotees. And Mukundadatta, who was, you know, told he wouldn't see the Lord for 10 million births, upon hearing that, you know, you're not going to see the Lord for 10 million births, Mukundadatta said, oh, that's wonderful. Not because he was glad not to see the Lord for 10 million births, but because he thought, I only have to wait 10 million births, and then the Lord will give me his darshan again. And immediately the Lord, seeing his reaction, embraced him and brought him back into the association of devotees. So the tests are going to come. And the Lord may be testing us directly himself. The test doesn't matter. How we react and respond, probably a better word, how we respond to the test, this is going to be the deciding factor of whether we get the Lord's mercy or not. Because we have to respond in the Krishna conscious way. Otherwise, we can go off on a whole tangent and maybe even be right, but we'd be completely wrong. Does that make sense? So like that. So here we have in the pages of the Bhagavatam unfolding so much relevance to our own lives.
I don't know about anyone else, but from time to time, most of the time, I'm very much prone to pride and arrogance. And in that way, one is kept away from Krishna. So the brahmanas here, they're apparently doing the right thing. But we can understand, actually, that the study of Vedanta, although it is apurusheya, apurusheya means? Huh? Words spoken by Krishna. Actually, it's apurusheya, means it's not, huh? It's not spoken by man. It's not affected by the four defects of the living entity, of the human being. Apurusheya. So Vedanta knowledge is, the Vedas are apurusheya. This wisdom is coming from God. It doesn't have anything to do with coming from man. It's not affected by the four defects. And the study of Vedanta, just on its own, is simply gyan. It's just simply acquiring knowledge. So one can study so much, and that's just gyan. But the point of gyan is to come to vigyan, is to come to the point of actually realizing what is the goal, what is being said in all this knowledge. Apart from just being able to recite or speak so many things, but actually to imbibe it, to understand it, and to act on it. And the example is given that gyan frames vigyan like the branches of a tree. So if you're associating with a friend and he wants to see the moon, you may say, look, just between those branches, see those branches, and you draw their attention to the branches. But the branches are not the goal. The branches are simply a reference so that you can understand the moon. And once you see the moon, then that is vigyan. Once you understand the moon, then you understand. So the goal hasn't been the branches. The goal is not the study of the Vedic scriptures. The goal is to develop love for Krishna. Now, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, just this is the prelude verse to the Chatushloki, he says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Gyanam Param Guyam Me, Yadvigyanam Saman Vitam, Sarahasyam Tad Angam Cha, Grahana Gadi Tam Maya. Knowledge about me, as described in the scriptures, is very confidential. And it has to be realized, vigyanam samanvitam, in conjunction with devotional service. The necessary paraphernalia for that process is being explained by me, and you may take it up carefully. So Krishna is saying here, just before the Chatushloki, the four seed verses of the Bhagavatam, which is explained that these are the first four verses spoken by the Lord to Brahma. This is the first knowledge that's given. And then it's explained that actually the entire Bhagavatam, how many verses? There's about 12 different answers here. Yeah. 18,000 verses. Is unpacked from those four verses. And how does the Lord prelude those verses? By saying that knowledge about me is very, this knowledge is very confidential, but it can only be vigyan, realized by the performance of devotional service. So later it's or in other places it's also explained that actually, in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, fifth chapter, where Narada Muni is speaking to Srila Vyasadeva, right, and Vyasadeva has approached him, and he's feeling morose because he's thinking, you know, I've written so much, I've explained so much, but I don't feel complete. He's written so much knowledge. Even he's written the smritis, the itihasas, the Mahabharata and the Bhagavad Gita is there, but he's still not feeling complete. And Narada Muni explains to him there that he says, Tadvagvishargo janataga viplavo yashmin pratishlokam abadavatyapi.
namanyanan tasya yasho niktaniyat shrinvati gayanti grananti sadvaha. On the other hand, that literature, which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard and sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So the verse previous to that, he says, those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since all the perfected persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. So just reading Vedanta scripture and maybe developing an impersonal mentality or not understanding the ultimate goal, Krishna, the Supreme Person himself, is like, you know, a place of pilgrimage for crows. It's like going somewhere and picking at the garbage. It's useless. Yet, when you include Krishna, when you understand the ultimate goal, or you break away from just the branches and you focus on the moon, then there's satisfaction, there's contentment, there's bliss, there's relationship is established, and that's what the soul is yearning for, is relationship. So, these brahmanas are at present just performing the rituals from within the Vedas, they're studying the Vedas, but they're forgetting the goal of the Vedas. Vedascha sarvair aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vid eva chaham. That they're forgetting that Krishna is the goal of the Vedas. And when he comes up to them and approaches them, they ignore him because they're so absorbed in, you know, looking at the branches. They're forgetting that the goal is the moon. So they're just absorbed in this way. Now, it's described that you don't have to be a brahmana just to study the scripture. In fact, it's explained that the verse actually is Aho bata swapacho tagaryan yaj jigar vartate namo tubyam te pus tapas te juhuvu yashnor arya brahmanuchur nama grinanti yete. Even if a person is born in a family of dog eaters, but takes up the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, it is to be understood that in his previous life, he must have executed all kinds of austerities and penances and performed all the Vedic yajñas. So if a person simply chants the holy names, then it means that he must have already performed all the Vedic rites and rituals. I think the verse yesterday was discussing, even though the women hadn't performed all these things, somehow they were attracted to Krishna. How? Simply because they were hearing Krishna Katha. They were hearing about the Lord. They were chanting the holy name. So somewhere they've performed the activities that are required in order to have this devotion. So if one chants the holy names, it's to be considered, actually it's also described, Rigvedo tayajor veda sma vedo pyatar yanaha adhitastena yeno tam harir it yakshara dvayam. A person who chants the two syllables ha-ri has already studied the four Vedas, Sama, Rig, Yajur, and Atharva. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That simply by chanting the Lord's holy name, Hari,
Hari!
Simply by chanting the Lord's holy name, Simply by chanting the Lord's holy name,
Hari,
you've already studied all the Vedas. That was easy, wasn't it? And how is it? Because you're seeing the moon. Does that make sense? And you're not getting caught up in the branches. But there's a danger, because one could think that yes, simply by chanting the holy name, yes, simply by chanting Hari, then that's all that there is. And since that's the goal, then that's all that we need to do, in one sense, right? But the Sahajiyas, they take this knowledge and information and they misuse it. And they say that all we have to do is chant the holy name and pretend to be in the mood of the gopis, and then our life is perfected. We don't need to study scripture. We don't need to have any understanding of Vedanta. We just simply need to chant. But actually it's explained that there has to be both. Both have to be there. One also has to be knowledgeable in the philosophy and in the scripture. Otherwise, if there isn't any knowledge, then just our actions are sentimental or fanatical. Does that make sense? So without the what's that saying? Prabhupada says, he says, something with something is fanaticism. Someone can remind me? Religion without philosophy is sentiment or fanaticism. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So like that, then we get into the realm of sentimentality or fanaticism. So there has to be philosophy. That knowledge has to be there. So it should be understood then that a Vaishnav should be conversant in Vedanta, should also have knowledge and understanding of the philosophy. Yet we shouldn't think that this study is the all in all, that this is the only thing. Because the point of the study is to bring us to the point of chanting the holy names. But they both have to be there. So a devotee must know the importance of simultaneously understanding Vedanta and at the same time chanting the holy names. So is described that bhakti develops tachchadana muniyo gyana vairagya yuktayo pasyanti atmani chatmanam bhakti shuta grihitaya. In this, the absolute truth is realized by the seriously inquisitive student or sage who is well equipped with knowledge and who has become detached by rendering devotional service and hearing the Vedanta Shruti. Now for us, the Vedanta Shruti is the the Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam is the natural commentary by the author of the Vedanta, of the Vedanta Sutra, of the Vedas. It's his commentary on those. The highest commentary by Srila Vyasadeva, the author himself, in his maturity, he gave the Bhagavatam. So by studying the Bhagavatam, by pouring ourselves into the Bhagavatam, by hearing from the Bhagavatam, as Prabhupada was saying this morning, we should have these classes in the morning, classes in the evening. And then it was interesting, he said, and then you fit reading in whenever you can in between with Sankirtan, book distribution. But simply, if we come to the class and we hear with rapt attention the Bhagavatam, then we're getting sufficient knowledge of Vedanta. And pairing that with the Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nashteva, 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 Gatiranyata, with the chanting of the holy name, then we actually are acting in proper accordance. The balance is there and kept. So that's why both have to be there. It's not that one can just chant, the knowledge and philosophy also has to be there. There has to be balance. But if one is just focusing all on knowledge, and the chanting is secondary, it doesn't matter. They're both like the two rails. It's given the Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi, that they're like two rails. So in the same way, this chanting and the study of Vedanta, the understanding of Krishna, because what are the pages of the Bhagavatam? Prabhupada said this is spoken kirtan, written kirtan, because it's all glorifying the Lord. There's no difference between the Harinam chanting of the Lord and the Krishna Katha, glorifying the Lord. Because the name is not different from the form, qualities, and pastimes, and the Bhagavatam is just revealing all the form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. Of course, we're instructed to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have to chant this Maha Mantra, which is the great mantra for deliverance in this age. But if we become like the Brahmanas, who think that the all-in-all is just the performance of rituals and the performance or the reading and study of scripture, forgetting Krishna, the goal or the moon or the point, then we also become completely lost and bewildered. So like that. Anyway, time is up. These are just a few points on this. So anyone has any questions or comments? Yes, Virabhadrapu and then Sundaripa. So the question is, I mentioned this verse from the Bhagavatam that if a person simply chants the holy name, then it's the same as having performed all the rituals in the Vedas and read all the Vedas. And is this literal? Is this meant literally that, yes, this person has done that? Or is it figuratively speaking, in the sense that because one is now chanting, then he's understood the point and goal of reading all the Vedas and like that? To be honest, I don't think I can answer that exactly, because I don't know whether it's meant one way or the other. But we can understand it clearly the second way, that definitely one who's come to the platform of chanting the Lord's holy name, then he's understood the goal of all the Vedas. Whether it means that, like everyone here in previous lives, have been Yajnik Brahmins or something like that, I don't know that's the case. Maybe someone else.
Prabhupada was asked, one devotee was asking a question based on this verse.
Yeah.
Saying that he couldn't believe or he couldn't see how he and others had done such things in the past, considering the background they came from.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada said something like, I am your good fortune.
Yeah.
It's by coming in contact with Prabhupada that they came qualification to take up devotional service. It mm-hmm. seems to indicate that Lord Chaitanya's mercy, even though he's unqualified, in contact with the Sankirtan movement.
Yes, Prabhu, you're going to say something.
You just said, like, religion and...
Is this another question?
Yeah.
Okay, if you get home, because Sundar Natai Puranas, no problem. So like that, is that okay? Yeah. Yes. No. The gyan, the knowledge,
is pointing, is used as a frame or a reference for us understanding the moon. That was the analogy that was given. So just having a lot of knowledge without understanding that, you know, like if someone points to the tree or points to this altar and says, see this outside, you know, the, you know, and then you get caught up in that and you start analyzing this. But the point of that is to look inside. It's not that you're here to have the darshan of the wood frame of the altar. The point is to have to, you know, to be with the Lord. So, it, and it's not, I don't think I said, if I did, then I apologize, that it was the holy name that's framing. I said it's Gyan, or it's Vedic knowledge of its own accord without coming to the platform of Vigyan and understanding. Then that's what's framing knowledge. That the goal of that is to bring us to the platform of the moon, to bring us to Krishna, which in this age for us is to chant Hare Krishna, which is why we talked about the power of the holy name, like that. Yeah, Prabhuji, you got your hand.
Philosophy and Krishna as a whole. I mean, that's what I understood. Like, if you look, the gopis, they were not knowing any philosophy, and they were just like saying Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, can you comment on that?
Actually, the gopis were very simple cowherd girls, but as far as I understand, they were also very, very knowledgeable. Probably anyone, let's say in Vedic times, born even a simple farmer in the field, just, you know, working his rice paddy, had 10 times more knowledge about Vedic scripture and life than we do now. They understood karma, they understood reincarnation, they understood so many things, you understand? Whereas now it's like all these things are really, oh, that's mystical, that's, you know, but it's like, Sahotra, Sahotra Prabhu, he comments in one place that, you know, it's like, nowadays the word science is like this amazing thing, everyone's, but the Vedic science dealt with things far beyond what the material mundane science is dealing with. It gets involved in what happens hereafter, you know, the afterlife and what's happening in the unseen and in the unborn. It's dealing with so much more depth. And everyone in that culture understood most of it. They may not have been able to cite so many verses, but also, as I understand, they were also, many of them were well-versed in the Vedic scriptures also. So they still had philosophy. It's not that they didn't. But let's say on the perfected platform, also simply one needs to love Krishna, and that is all the philosophy, you know. But for us coming to that perfected platform, there has to be these guides and parameters that keep us on track. Does that make sense? Yes. And then, sorry, are you going to comment on that? Yeah.
Just a point, because gopis themselves, they do have the highest knowledge.
Yeah.
And the second thing, if I remember properly, they were actually munis in Ramayana.
Some of them were, yeah. There was, I mean, I don't know all the numbers, but there were lots of different gopis.
Yeah,
but yes, some of them were munis from the Ramayana who had developed a desire within to be in a paramour relationship with Lord Ram, and Lord Ram agreed to fulfill that desire in his next appearance, which was as Krishna, and they came as gopis. So like that, there's so many intricacies. So it's not just that they were all simple village girls, but even if they were, like you said, they had the highest knowledge. Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, Merle.
I was just thinking how another similar example, just as we're speaking to this pastime, is Ramaharshan Sutta, who had lots of knowledge. But when Balaram himself came,
that's right. Very nice. Yeah.
It's similar to the Brahmins.
Yeah.
Similar.
And that's such a powerful pastime, this Ramaharshan Sutta, because when that one verse when Lord Balaram, you know, killed him, and he basically made this comment that all your learning, all your knowledge, even though you're such an expert person, you've studied directly under Srila Vyasadeva, and you're sitting here in this assembly, they've put you on the high seat, you're the man. But all of that is useless. And he said, actually, all of your words, all of your everything that you're about to say is just like an actor's the words on a script. You're just like an actor. And why is that? Because you haven't developed humility. So if you haven't developed humility, then you've missed the whole point. If all your knowledge is only making you puffed up and proud, then you haven't learned anything. It doesn't mean a damn thing. Better you're stupid and you just chant Hare Krishna in one sense than be like, I know this 50,000 verses, and you know, but you just walk around like that, you know, the cobbler and the Brahmin. Yes, thanks Merle for a wonderful example. Okay, last one, Lexi.
Thank you for
this
question. I'm not sure if it's a question or just understanding each of them. It's you mentioned in the middle of the class how the name Hari has all the importance of all the Vedas, and some people chanting this name, you just say all the language. I'm not sure if it was that speaker another day who mentioned that that kind of statements, they're more for Anishka Vikaris to attract them. And I was just meditating on that another day. Because if we see the statement and understand that the word Hari should be pronounced with the proper mentality and motivation and purity of heart, it probably still implies that you have learned or understood or realized Vedas in order to alter this name within such a state of mind. So you see what I mean? In other words,
yeah, I think the premise of your question is based on maybe a slight misunderstanding. At least what the verse says is that one who has chanted the names of the two syllables Ha and Li, Hari, should be understood that he has already read all four Vedas. It's not exactly saying that, it's not presenting it in a karma kanda fashion or something that, you know, by chanting Hari then you'll get all the knowledge of the four Vedas. It's stating that anyone who comes to the platform of the point of being able to chant the holy name, then he's, like we were just discussing here, he's understood the import of all of the Vedas, which is to chant the holy name of God, to glorify Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's, I think it's kind of that simple. I don't know if that makes sense or clarifies. Yeah, I think so. Okay. Thank you very much. I think we'll end here. Thank you for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. So for the pleasure of the Lordships, we have Sankirtan scores from yesterday in Radha's boutique. We distributed 10 books for 286 Lakshmi points. And in Govinda's restaurant, we distributed prasad to at least 234 customers for a total of 1,435 Lakshmi points. And on book distribution, 5 scores reported. Starting with Jayananda Prabhu. Anyone know who Jayananda Prabhu is?
Yes, he's a member of Prabhupada and he went out for the third time in
the world. He's initiated?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jayananda Prabhu, 4 Lakshmi points, 1 Maha Big Book for 2 book points. Bhakta Pasha, 6 Lakshmi, 1 Maha Big for 2 book points. Sundar Natai, 33 Lakshmi, 5 Mahabig for 10 book points. Weekend Warriors West Ealing, 42 Lakshmi, 13 small, 3 medium, 16 Mahabig for 36.75 book points. And His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, distributing books day in and day out, come rain or shine. Just dedicated to the distribution of his books, collected 517 Lakshmi points. Distributed 52 small books, 14 medium, 7 big, 36 maha big books for 99 book points. At this rate, Prabhupada will be the top distributor for the year. So 5 scores, 602 Lakshmi, 65 small, 17 medium, 7 big, 59 maha big for 149.75 book points. Srila Prabhupada Shanzano book distribution key. We're going to have prasad now if you'd like to stay. Should have to rush off. Yeah? Okay, Hare Krishna. Nice. Maybe someone can get them some mahab, some prasad or something. So we'll offer our prayer to their lordships. Dear Shri Shri Radhananda Nishwar, Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra, Shri Shri Gaurani Thai, and Giri Govardhan, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada to the fallen conditioned souls of London. Please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution.